Our reading this morning is found on page 847 in your pew Bible. The reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verses 22 through 34. Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? If then you're not able to do so small a thing as that, why do you worry about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not keep striving for what you are to eat and what you are to drink, and do not keep worrying. For it is the nations of the world that strive after all these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, strive for his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Let's bow our heads for a moment in prayer. Lord, you've given us your word in Holy Scripture. We know that you've given us your Holy Spirit to write that word upon our hearts as well as in our minds. And so we ask you, Holy Spirit, to be our teacher in our reflections this morning. We pray it in your name, Jesus. Amen. Today we're going to talk a bit about the problem of treasures. So I'd like you to do a little experiment with me here. When I say this word, I want you to picture the first thing that comes into your mind. Okay? I'm going to say this word, and I'd like you to just picture the first thing that comes into your mind. You don't have to think about it, talk about it, just kind of get. And it may be a word, it may be a picture, whatever. Ready? Treasure. Okay, just hold on to that one. Hold on to it. Now, you may have thought of a golden pile of stuff buried in a ship that sunk off the shore of some place or other, and with gold and silver and jewels or something. That's a possibility. But chances are, something else may have come to your mind. But probably, as we think of the word treasure, we think of something that's valuable to us, something that is precious to us, something that we depend on in some way, all right, that we would like to have. So I got one more word, and we'll do the same thing with. And you can picture this word, see what comes to your mind in the second word, and then again, just hold on to it a bit. Worry. You got it? Okay, just hold on to that one. So Jesus talks in our text today about the problem of treasure. Scripture talks about two kinds of treasure. One kind of treasure is offered by the world we live in. And it's the food we eat. It's the materials in which we build our homes, our buildings, our roads, our transportation, all the things that make life possible for us to make livings and so on. There's the kind of treasure that exists in people, our loved ones, our children, our brothers and sisters, our closest friends are in some way can be treasures to us. Maybe the things we're able to do in life, our professions, our jobs, our skills and abilities may be treasures for us that are provided by being human and by living in the world we live in. And they can be good things. They're good things. But the scripture also tells us that there are treasures of the kingdom of God that are different than these in some ways. And so, first, the biggest treasure is eternal life, right? Through faith and trust in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, by God becomes our Father, and He promises us this kingdom of heaven. And, you know, Scripture says, no eyes seen, no ears heard what it's like. We could only imagine, but you and I are going to get new bodies that aren't going to grow old. And for those of us who are growing old, we're all growing old, right? You're even growing old, older. And so, yeah, we're going to be with people we love. It's going to be no sickness, no death, no crying, no tears. And it's going to be a forever and ever kind of eternal kind of thing. And Scripture tells us that because we don't just live in that kingdom of God when we die, but we're adopted into that kingdom right now when the Lord Jesus becomes our Lord and our Savior, that all the promises of that kingdom become present to us. And so Jesus says in his teaching here, he says, well, don't worry about the things that may come or go with the world's treasures, because I'm going to see that you have what you need. I see that you have what you need, and he provides that. So those are two kind of treasures that we can look at: the heavenly treasures which God provides and gives to us, and the treasures which the world provides and that we need. Jesus says, your Father knows you need those things. And so what the challenge for us here, though, is to say, well, all right, because where our treasure is, our heart tends to go to, both in our longing and in our worrying sometimes. Longing and our worrying. So how do people deal with this business of where's my treasure? What's essential to me? What's important to me? What's of value to me? And so you look at the world's population and say, well, a lot of people say, well, I hear the God stuff, but quite frankly, it's what I can touch and see and do myself, and that's what I'm going to depend on. That's going to be my treasure. And a lot of people make that kind of choice. This is the second way that we can choose about this business of treasure and what we're going to depend on. And that's, well, I'm gonna do it both ways. So, okay, God, I'm gonna depend on the world for my treasure now, in this life, and I'll depend on you for my treasure in heaven. Okay, it's an option, right? And you and I know people who've done that. We may have been there, or find that's an easy place to wonder if we're at. So God, I'm going to live in the world. My treasure's here, you know. I don't know about the heaven stuff. Two would be, well, I'm going to have it both ways. And the third one would be, okay, God, I'm in. I'm all in. I can't see all the treasure you're promising me, but I'm in. I'm going to depend as best I can on you. Three options there. And so, you know, what does Jesus tell us about those three options? And he says, the first one isn't good. The depending on the world. He says, the first is that the world's treasures will let us down. They will. They're uncertain. They're involatile. They're moving around. I mean, so we can have worked hard all our lives to make a living and to provide the resources and things like that. And so we watch the news at night and watch the stock market go up and down. Nothing we can do about that. Or companies close and the different things that happen in the world. And we say, whoa, you know, I thought we were fine. And now we're not so fine after all. Or, you know, our health is, you know, well, we had plans. And, you know, now I can't and we won't be able to. And, gee, we really liked living here until our neighbor moved in. And he plays loud music all the time, and his dogs bark, and he's really rude and unkind, and we're not so sure we like this house we've loved for years anymore. And I really love my kids, but, you know, something's gone on with them lately, and they're not talking to me, or one of them isn't, you know, and they're blaming, you know, so somebody's going sideways in my life. That, and so Jesus says, you know, even in this world, these treasures aren't dependable, right? They're not dependable. And then Jesus would tell us about, well, let's do it both ways. Let's depend on treasures in heaven and treasures in this world. And Jesus says, well, you know, God will only be your father if he's totally your father, right? So we can't have two gods, right? We're called to love the Lord our God with our whole heart. So we're either his or we're not. We're either his or we're not. My college professor led me to the Lord. He said, God won't be, he'll either be the boss or nothing. He won't be your band-aid pusher, is the term he used. So he won't be summoned by you to put a band-aid on your owie. This is going wrong. I need your help. And then summarily dismissed until I get myself in trouble again. So God says, well, no, I've invited you to be my children, to live in my kingdom. And so the only thing that's really going to be good for you is to say yes to that. Yes, totally. And depend on the treasures that he gives us, that he gives us. So he says, have faith, trust me. You know, now these alternatives, we may find that they've all got their troubles, right? I mean, the world's thing can't guarantee, but the faith thing, we find a challenge just as well. So God promises, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to provide what you need. Well, okay, but has anybody had a prayer that didn't get answered the way they wanted it to, right? Yeah. We all have. Any of us sitting here say, well, yeah, God figured out now. He's become quite predictable to me. I think I can trust him because I know just what he's going to do. Anybody here, you know, me either, right? I mean, the longer I know the Lord, the more mysterious he is. And why he does this and not that, I don't know. So this faith business is a moving target for us. Moving target for us. So Jesus' invitation here is to say, well, if our heart then can be a moving target in terms of what we trust and where we put our treasures, then boy, I sure don't want to stray out of the kingdom. But he says, don't let your heart be troubled, right? He doesn't want us worrying. So let me give you an example of a treasure that I've had to deal with in my own life, and then invite you to think of the treasure word or the worry word. I was sitting in my office, First Church, Minnesota. I'm sitting in my office, and the telephone rings. And my office is at home in our house. And I pick up the phone, and it's a woman who's a member of this. I'm a pastor of this little country church, rural Minnesota. And she starts chewing me out. She's angry and she's upset at me. And I didn't visit her in the hospital. That's true, I didn't. And I said, well, I didn't know you were in the hospital. And she said, well, you should have known. If this congregation cared about me at all, somebody would have told you in the hospital. And I'm fairly new there. And I didn't. I've never met this lady before. But she was really upset at me. And this went on and on. And I said, well, you know, and she said, people cared for me and you'd have been there and on and on. And well, as the story went on, she admitted that she had told her husband not to tell anybody that she was in the hospital just to see if we really loved her and if this pastor was any good, right? Because he'd find out. Well, you know, this went on for a while, and I said, well, I really apologize, and, you know, can I come over and see you? No, I'm all right. And so, so we hung up the phone, and I was furious. I mean, I'm sitting at my desk, and I'm steaming. There's steam coming out of my ears. I'm just so, you know, and then I think the Lord stopped me in midstream and said, why am I so upset by this lady? She's not an important person to me. I mean, I don't know her. She's not a leading figure in our church. She's not, you know, she's got a problem and we need to minister to that. But why am I so angry? And then the thought came to me, right there, and I think the Lord said it. Tom, you want everybody to think you're wonderful. You want everybody to love you. Whoa. It's true. It is true. It's a treasure thing that I sort of felt like I grew up without. And if I could get people to like me, to think I was a good person, a valuable person, and now that I'm a pastor, certainly a good pastor, then somehow I would have a treasure that makes me worthwhile. So we can think about my problem here and say, what is it that makes me worthwhile, Tom? What is it? It's the Lord, isn't it? I'm His beloved. I've been adopted as a son of God. I've been given the gift of eternal life. He's blessed me in so many ways. But now, where's my heart going to be? As a pastor, am I going to try to do a sermon that is going to make you like me? Or be faithful to the Word of God. It's a challenge. Now think for a minute about what came to your mind when I said worry. Okay? I've had a chance to think about this story in mind, and I don't expect you to have a story ready for that, but it's probably some aspect of your life. And so when we think about this thing of where our treasure is and the danger that it can tend to cause us, if we're worrying about it, it's a danger to us, right? Just because worry itself, how many of us enjoy worrying, right? Does it make our day good? Does it make us good to be around? I mean, no, we don't. Jesus says, don't worry, you know, but we do. We do. And we've got these worry things that go on, and it's a signal to us that maybe we're putting our treasure in a place that's not reliable. Not reliable. Why else would we worry about it, right? If I'm certain that it's good, I'm good. I'm safe. God's got me covered here. I'm not going to worry about it. But if I find myself worrying about... So Lynn, that was perfect this morning. You know, we got this... I forget the words you used, pastor, and everybody applauded. So you can tell the little boy in me who wants, you know, everybody to love him is standing up here bowing like this. And that's a danger to me, isn't it? could be a danger to me. And so what pops in our mind when we catch ourselves worrying that could be a danger to us? We might probably not worrying about something that's evil or bad or but a good thing. But is it a place we put our treasure? And so when we spot this potential treasure place, it not only causes us these negative, worrying feelings that destroy our peace and joy, it gives Satan a target to shoot arrows, right? He's not going to tempt us. He's not going to shoot these arrows at us in places where we're good, where we're strong. You know, the shield, the full armor of God's in place here. But it's this thing over here that I'm worried about. So we'll just send a little zinger in here. And he has this lady call me on the phone, right? It ruins my day. So the Lord in his teaching would tell us then, you don't have to be ashamed when you find worries. We don't have to. Things that bug us. He didn't show me what was going on in my office with this telephone call to guilt me or condemn me or shame me, but to show me a place in my life he wanted to set me free. That he wants to set me free. And so how do we do that? How do we step in then to this business of letting the Holy Spirit identify our worries, our potential treasures that aren't safe for us, that aren't reliable, that are instead of God? And what do we do it? And there are three scriptures I'd like to just share with you. Two of them are in our text today, but the first one is Ephesians. And these are familiar to you. Ephesians 2, the 8th verse. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. For by grace we have been saved through faith. Now grace is that the gift and the power of God. It's okay? So I'm a child of God, not because I'm good enough, not because I'm so certain of what heaven's going to look like, but he's given me this gift in response to my saying yes to him, faith. Okay? So that's the way we became Christians, and however it worked out in our lives, over a period of time, once here, there, however it worked out for us. And then in Hebrews, our passage today, a phenomenal passage in Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And it's the Holy Spirit that gives us faith. So when we see our faith struggling on something, well, I know I shouldn't worry about that. I know I shouldn't be concerned. I know I can't. I got to quit turning to that thing, whatever it is, to make me happy. I just don't have enough faith. Well, what is it that gives us faith? It's the grace of God. The centurion, Jesus said, "Well, I admire your faith," to the centurion that had asked Jesus for a healing. And he said, "Well, I believe, but help my unbelief." And the miracle happened. And so we go to the Lord and we say, "Lord, I can't just dump this treasure thing. I mean, it keeps coming up in me. But I don't want it to be there. I don't want it to destroy my peace. I don't want to give the devil a handle in my life. And I want my faith and my relationship with you to be secure." And so that's all we have to do. We really can mimic in our own prayers, in our own times, I say mimic, or copy is a better word, just what we do when we come to church together. What do? We come in and, we celebrate, we focus on God, and then we say, in the whole confession part, God, I don't have it together. I'm not perfect. I'm a sinner. I get it wrong sometimes. I say, do, think, feel, whatever, things that I know aren't of you. And we just lay it out there. It's true. And we don't, from Tom today, who's leading us in that worship here, or the pastor here, say, now shape up, right? He didn't say that to us. What does he say? Hey, by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we're forgiven, we're helped, we're given the strength to deal with that simply by bringing it before him. And that's what we can do with these treasure kinds of things. Our text says, so we need we come before the Lord and we just say, okay, here I am. I'm a mixed bag. I'm a mixed bag. You are, so am I. We don't have it all together. And we just lay it out there. And that's the way we just start our prayers. We don't even have to say it, right? We just let it be there. And then the text would invite us to watch for worry. None of us here, if we're here today, we're not going to intentionally depend on, use my example, how well I'm liked to define the happiness of my life. We're not going to intentionally do that. But when we spot a worry, then we say, oh, okay. Well, Lord, tell me about that one. Where did that come from? Where did I learn that that was going to be a problem for me? Where did I learn to believe a lie? And ask the Holy Spirit to show us. And then we go to him and say, Lord, help me with that. Right? My faith isn't strong enough, or I wouldn't be worried. So that's not a condemnation. That's a prayer. Lord, strengthen my faith. So Jesus is in his encouragement in our text today. Hey, look at the birds of the air. Look at what God wants to do for you. He's your heavenly Father. He wants to give you everything you need, provide for you in this life, every moment. But he says, in this world we'll have tribulation. I mean, we didn't need a Savior if the world was all in good shape. Or if the right government or the right whatever was going to fix it, we don't need a Savior. But then he gives us eternal life. So let me just close by inviting you to pray with me. And I'm just going to provide some of these categories. And again, you don't have to put words to them. You can just let your mind kind of do that, or you can put words, but I'm not going to give you a lot of time about whatever came to your mind or has come to it in our discussion about worry points for you, potential treasures that aren't of God. Okay? Let us pray. Lord Jesus, Holy Father, Blessed Spirit, thank you, Lord, for showing me a place of worry in my own life. Lord, it's a place that causes me consternation and trouble. So I surrender that to you, Lord. I can't fix it. I've tried just telling myself, don't worry. And so, Lord, I ask your help. Pour out your grace upon me, O Lord, by the power of your resurrection, Jesus. Write the truth upon my heart of your goodness, your faithfulness. Protect me, Lord, that the enemy may not use this to try to disturb my peace. And I thank you, Lord, that I'm safe in your kingdom. Help me live my life in that peace. Thank you, Lord. Amen.